government regains the trust of its citizens is by telling the truth. There is no other way, no shortcut.
And I call upon our government to open up like the Belgians have, the French have, the Brazilians have, the Argentines, the Mexicans have all released their files. It's about time now that we do the same thing and become a part of this planetary community.
It is way past time for all of us to know what our own government knows instead of being kept in the dark by a policy of ditto.
The last time that Congress held a hearing addressing the extraterrestrial issue was 1968, 44 years of sightings ago. In those 4.5 decades, hundreds of thousands of new sightings have taken place. Government agency witnesses have come forward. Media coverage has expanded. Hundreds of documentaries have been produced. Thousands of books have been written. And yet the United States Congress has remained silent. So for a period of 5 days, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., 2 blocks from the White House, 12 blocks from the Congress of the United States, we're going to conduct a citizen hearing on disclosure of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. 40 to 50 witnesses of high rank and station, from military, from agencies, and possibly from intelligence services, along with the top researchers in the world, will give 30 hours of testimony to 5 former members of the United States Congress.
So maybe the citizens hearing has a chance to try to leverage open some of the truth about the fact that we're not alone in this universe, that we might actually begin to look at what we really are, what the true history of this planet is, and that might be what gets us into a future without self-destruction.
The motto of the citizen hearing is, if Congress won't do its job, the people will.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Countdown to Disclosure. This is Beth. I am having technical difficulties. So today and the next 2 days, my modem is not working. So I can't broadcast with internet. I can't use anything from the internet, and I can't use Skype. So I'm talking to you from a cell phone, and so we're going to have a change in our programming today. So let me bring you up to date on what's new and what's happening. I changed the front page at galacticroundtable.org, so I hope you'll go there and look. Over the weekend, on Saturday, I launched a new White House petition on the We the People website. And I can hear all the groans out there, because you guys have seen the Nassar petition go through and the disclosure petitions go through, and we get idiotic replies from the administration at the White House, and nothing ever happens. Well, that's not the purpose of the petition. The purpose of the petition is to give the media something to report on. The White House We the People website is a very high traffic website. People are always scanning it to see what's going on. So if we want to bring attention to the citizens hearing and the serious documentary and everything that's happening next month, then we put out a petition to capture the attention of the media and have them bring the issue of ET into what they write and what they broadcast. So if you go to galacticroundtable.org, to the front page, then all you have to do is click on the picture of the petition, and there you can go to sign in and sign the petition. Ron Berkowitz and Mark Huber already signed. So I think it's a very good unity vibration if we get together as a family one more time and do this petition. There's about 50 signatures there right now, and only after we have 150 signatures will this petition go live so people can actually see it when they go to the website. They have increased the threshold of the signatures to 100,000. And frankly, I don't understand why we wouldn't be able to get 100,000 people to ask President Obama for disclosure. That's what this petition is asking for. But somehow people have, you know, their own preconceived notions about the petition process and find it, you know, hard to find those 2 minutes to go there and sign it. Anyways, I hope you will. So this petition is talking about the NSA astronauts that landed on the moon in 1961. And that the NSA astronauts had been running the secret space program out of Colorado for all these years. And that they were the ones who, after NASA astronauts landed, booted them off of the moon. And that's why we've never gone back to the moon. So that's what this petition is saying, asking respectfully, please, President Obama, disclose, self-disclose from our elected president to her citizens that the extraterrestrials have been engaged with our government. So what else is new? Also, in April, I'll be going on three journeys. I'll be leaving, I'll be gone on April 12th through 15th. This doesn't mean I won't be broadcasting, but I'll be away April 12th through 15th. I will be in Pennsylvania. And I put this on the events section at galacticroundtable.org. I'll be meeting with an inspired being and we'll be holding ceremony for 3 days and preparing the energies to get ready for disclosure. After that, on April 22nd, then I've been invited out to L.A. to go see the premiere of the Sirius documentary for Dr. Stephen Greer. And then a week later, on August 29th, I'll be flying out to Washington, D.C. because I have been invited to the citizens hearing all week. So I'll be listening to all the testimony there. So we're in a very busy, important time now. And I thank you all for your support and especially for going to that website and signing the petition. As a thank you for signing the petition, if you email me and you'd like to have a free ebook, I'm more than happy to share whatever I have with you to support your efforts. My email is eltrutwin@gmail.com. E-L, like Elizabeth, eltrutwin@gmail.com. Like eltrutwin@gmail.com. Just email me any questions you have or any requests. So, I'm not planning on doing a meditation today because it's too hard in these circumstances. But what I would like to do today is just off the cuff, I want to share some information I have with you. So today is going to be like reading a bedtime story. So just kick back and relax and enjoy. It's going to be very low-key today. Let me take some water. What I have is I want to share with you about Lord Ashtar and the Galactic Federation. 2 winters ago, you guys know that I do channeling, and I channel Ashtar and Sananda, Mother Sekhmet, Metatron, Lord Michael, and St. Germain, and many of the masters. I've been doing that some years now. And Lord Ashtar came to me 2 winters ago and said he would like me to write a book about him. He wants to channel a book through me about him. And when he said that to me, I started to cry because it felt like so much pressure. And I said, why me? And he said, because you're willing and because you can. And so I was very honored to do this project with him. Essentially, it took a few weeks, and I would sit in the chair, and he would stand behind the chair and just speak to me over my shoulder, and I wrote down what he said. So this book is about 474 pages. I'm happy to share a free ebook with you. If you want to email me, then just let me know the number that you signed on the petition. And what this book talks about is it explains more deeply the Galactic Federation and the spiritual hierarchy and how Ashtar is working with our guardian angels. It talks about how, it talks about Ashtar's only lifetime on Earth, which was as Paco Bataan. This is the guy who you see in the Mayan artwork who looks like he's sitting in a spaceship. He looks like this Mayan dude with the long hair, and he looks like he's zooming through the stars in the spaceship. This was a carving that was found on a door in Guatemala. And Paco Bataan, in his lifetime as Ashtar on Earth, wrote a book called The Popol Vuh. And a lot of historians have read The Popol Vuh, and they can't tell what it's about at all. And they write what they think it's about, but they get the symbology wrong. And The Popol Vuh is a story about creation, of the Earth that came before this Earth's creation. They say we're in our fifth Earth. Well, we're transitioning out of that now, and that's why on the Mayan calendar prophecy they're saying we're entering into the sixth sun. That's what it means. We're in a new age, the golden age on Earth, and under the sixth sun. The Popol Vuh talks about the Earth in an earlier creation and what the Galactic Federation was doing there then. Also, if you look at the Lords of Hindu and the Vedanta, Ashtar was the god Agni in the Vedanta. So he wrote the Agni Purana. That wasn't a lifetime of Ashtar on Earth. That was Ashtar visiting Earth and leaving Earth. He didn't incarnate on Earth then. And he would come and talk to the rishis and teach them the Agni Purana. And they handed it down as an oral tradition for who knows how many thousands or more years, and eventually it was written down. And the Agni Purana, if you get a copy of it in English, is about 925 pages, four volumes of books long. It's very interesting. It's the only Purana I own. Lots of great information in there. In the Agni Purana, he basically tells folks how to live their lives. And there's some magical things in there, too. So the part I want to share part of the book with you today. And first, I want to read this part to you. Then I'll explain the part I want to share. I'm reading the back cover of the book. This is the story of full galactic disclosure, as told by Lord Ashtar. Ashtar is the commander of the Galactic Federation, under the orders of the King of Kings. Admiral Sananda Jesus, with Captain Ashtar, are in charge of this universe, Nebadon. Admiral Lincor is the head of the Starfleet of the Intergalactic Confederation of seven universes, and they report to him. When Earth ascends, we will become the 33rd member of the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. This message is to the ground crew on Earth. This is Ashtar speaking, everybody. Your planet was given a rare opportunity to learn the true and dependable laws leading to progress along all lines of achievement, physical, mental, and spiritual. When the one known to you as Jesus Christ was sent in human embodiment, not only to teach, but to demonstrate in full sight of Earth dwellers the beauty the efficacy and the supreme wisdom of compliance with those powerful creative laws enunciated by the omnipotent creator of all things. Alas, the failure of all but a mere handful of people to catch even a fleeting glimpse of the sublime spiritual message he brought, which would have freed them from all bondage to material things. Their complete blindness filled our hearts with sorrowful despair of any possible chance for Sean, Earth, to be saved from total destruction. I say, we who watched from our posts of observation in space lost all hope for ever seeing your planet rescued from the fate it had brought upon itself. Not so your Redeemer. He had made a sacred promise to those who believed and trusted him implicitly. To them, he said, he would return in power and great glory. And this dark orb would be illumined in spite of all efforts of the Dark Ones to prevent it from happening. We come now in full confidence that this promise is to be kept. We have been summoned to assist in the fulfilling of this promise. Knowing from you long experience the manifold joys and satisfactions which will be yours when you are released from all those who hold you captive to their evil wills, we come with an excess of enthusiasm to lend our support to this crusade. Yet we hold ourselves subject at all times to the all-wise supervision of our supreme commander. We know each one who is in sympathy with our mission, and we would like you to know what a help it is to have these luminous avenues through which to reach the darker areas where much of our work must be carried on. May we all band together in a divinely blessed fellowship and lend our utmost effort to serve well and faithfully until the glorious victory is won and the planet Sean Earth is at last a shining orb in the firmament of the heavens. Salute, Lord Ashtar. What I would like to share with you today, everybody, is the work that was done by this lady. And this was in the early 1950s. And Ashtar asked me to include her work in this book. So this is all included. Her work is included here. She had her friends publish this for her, and it was a little booklet, and it was called In Days to Come by Ashtar. And this lady had received these messages from Ashtar by automatic writing. So if you're not sure what that is, that's when a person sits down with a pen and blank paper and listens and telepathically receives a message and writes down longhand what's been said. I do something similar, but nowadays I do it on my laptop. So I want to read to you the foreword of this book. It's kind of lengthy, but it gives us so much information that is important. Back in the 40s, America dropped bombs on Japan. We used nuclear weapons on Earth, and this changed things with the Galactic Federation. It made it so they could intervene on higher levels so that Earth wouldn't be destroyed. And then in 1947, the United States started a truth embargo about President Eisenhower's activities with those in the Soviet Union and others with the negative extraterrestrials. And that changed how the Galactic Federation could help us because it was being hidden from Earth citizens. So the negative extraterrestrials have been gone from Earth since 2010. They were all driven out. as we prepared for ascension because they could no longer stay here. They were driven out from the inner tunnels and all the tunnels leading to inner earth and all the hidey holes where they were staying. They were driven out finally. And so abductions and all those things are no longer happening. That's over now. So in after we dropped the bombs, and then in 1947, they shot down the Zeta Reticulan ship in Roswell, New Mexico. Then Ashtar came not long after that to this lady and asked her to transmit these messages to explain what was going on. So I think as I read the foreword, it helps you really feel the gist of where things were back then. And as I'm reading this, sharing this with you today, I hope that you will think about what he said back then and how it applies now to the cabal and the 13 families and the bankers and how they've stolen the mortgages and all the things that are going on today. What he said back then is true today. And that's why the book is called In Days to Come, because he was preparing us for this time now. And this book has kind of been lost in, I mean, a lot of people know about it, who the kind of people who listen to this call, but more or less this book has gone by the wayside. So I'm so glad it's here. So I hope you enjoy this. Before I start, I'll just take a little water. In days to come forward. As spiritual pioneers of the New Age, there are many things to consider. Certainly, the coming of the so-called flying saucers in a momentous sign of the times and the attitude taken towards them is an unmistakable measuring rod of your intelligence and spiritual status. People interested in flying saucers fall into three categories. Those who are indifferent to the whole matter, those who are interested only in the physical aspects, who pride themselves on their scientific attitude, but close their mind to every evidence not in keeping with their own theories, and those who believe in flying saucers and the possibility of communication with spacemen. Among the latter, we find some, it is true, who are mentally not capable of weighing evidence and the nature of various reports, and believe everybody who claims to have made a contact with spacemen in every wild story. Naturally, such people are ridiculed by the more sober-minded, who reserve judgment until they find evidence for acceptance. On the other hand, is he who senses the tremendous import of flying saucers and the less intelligent than he who point blank refuses to even consider the possibility of higher worlds and communications with spacemen through extrasensory perception. Extrasensory perception is now scientifically proven, established by Professor Vine of Duke University. And why shouldn't beings from outer space more advanced in this sort of thing communicate with receptive individuals here on Earth? Now, a high degree of development of both intelligence and extrasensory perception is, of course, ideal, but the lack of the former is no more regrettable than the lack of the latter. As to men of science, they must necessarily have highly trained minds, but they may be utterly lacking in extrasensory perception or any sort of spiritual perception, which requires the unfoldment of latent, little-known faculties in man. Fortunately for humanity, the number of those who have intuitively feel the possibility of intercommunication between dwellers on this planet and in other worlds is constantly growing, and the biting ridicule of materialists cannot shake their faith, for the Earth is moving into a new dimension, and the requirements for the survival of the fittest is changing. Once it was brawn, but now it is precisely the extrasensory faculty. The life of many a soldier has been saved by a sudden hunch. Mental telepathy will be far more common in the future one day and will be considered standard equipment. For the present, the man or woman who has it, far more likely to survive in these days of earthquakes, floods, and bombings. For he or she who gets the hunch to leave a certain place before a bomb falls, before an earthquake rocks the house or fire breaks out, has a far greater chance to survive than those who do not have such hunches. A man may be smart enough to get the best of the other fellow, strong as an ox, or very practical, and have a well-trained mind, but still may not be able to foresee disaster. In a recent lecture, Franklin Thomas pointed out that in the new age, thoughts will be increasingly visible, and therefore deception and what is now called hypocrisy will be of no avail. For the present, a man or woman who can sense the motive or feel the thoughts of another is certainly in a much safer position than one who is easily fooled by a charming personality or by first-class acting. Now, as to extrasensory perception in connection with communication with higher worlds and beings, this is, of course, the first requirement in such a relationship. A person, no matter how much and how often he may affirm his divine perfection, if he isn't receptive and sensitive to higher influences, will not and cannot receive any instruction from higher sources. It takes a humble and receptive mind, well-disciplined and properly attuned. And before any attempt be made to commune with higher beings, let it be said that one should first learn how to get in touch with one's own higher self, sometimes called the guardian angel. Now, here we come to an important point. Modern metaphysics, although it has helped thousands, made them more self-reliant, positive in their thinking, intellectually mature and responsible, nevertheless has practically ignored the fact that there are beings in this universe besides ourselves, beings which the ancients sometimes called angels, and who are now being called quote-unquote spacemen. According to occult science and the Bible, there are orders of beings called by various names who, in times of great need especially, come to Earth to offer their assistance to men. Why shouldn't they be able to impress thoughts and ideas on receptive individuals? All down the ages, there have been mystics who claimed to have heard the voice of God or of angels. Today, there are those who claim to hear the voice of spacemen. And if flying saucers are real, and the Air Force knows they are, why shouldn't they be manned by intelligent beings who can send their thought waves to those who are receptive? Of course, that doesn't mean that everyone who claims to have received a message has a genuine one from a spaceman. We are not discussing spiritualism as such, in the sense of getting messages from one's departed relatives. We are here only considering the possibility of communicating with beings from another world who come here on a mission. Perchance, they once were incarnate here on Earth and therefore have our interests at heart. Perhaps they never were human in our sense of the word, but who nevertheless have intelligence, insight into our problems, and understanding of our needs. Some say that Jesus came here from another planet. Why not? The interest in flying saucers is raising many questions. Perhaps there are beings on other planets that have never made such a mess of things as we have down here on Earth. According to Jacob Labor, there are beings who did not fall and forgot their divine origin, but remained in their pristine purity. Perhaps most of us here are prodigal sons. There are said to be men and women who have lived on other planets and are here on Earth to learn certain lessons. To learn certain lessons which can only be learned on Earth through a temporary forgetfulness of their inner divinity and by working upward to the darkness step by step. Perhaps there are those who are only here to help and instruct us. At any rate, our Earth is certainly not the only inhabited planet in this vast universe. And one thing is sure, we have made a mess of our affairs and we are in sore need of help and guidance from higher powers at this particular time. Now, some say that any kind of spirit communication is evil. Some claim that, according to the Bible, it is wicked to call the dead, but the Bible itself is full of communications with spirits of departed ones. Even Jesus spoke to Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. But of course, just about anything can be proven or disproven by Bible text. The Bible is written in such a way that there can be many interpretations depending on your understanding. Often passages are interpreted according to wishful thinking or the misunderstanding of ancient symbolism. As to metaphysical teachers who usually ignore the possibility of spiritual communication, most leaders themselves, even Mrs. Eady, who is violently opposed to it, have known to commune with departed ones. Now, the communion with higher beings can take place in various ways, one of which is automatic writing, where the hand writes without being directed by the conscious mind of the medium, or by mental telepathy, or the hearing of an inner voice. Automatic writing depends, of course, on the willingness of the individual to be a channel of communication and to what extent the conscious mind is temporarily put to abeyance. Regarding the communication from Ashtar received through automatic writing by E.P.H., who prefers to remain anonymous, there are certain interesting sidelights. Here is the story. We had been receiving the Ashtar discourses from EPH at various intervals and considered them of a very high order. Some of them were read on several occasions before our group, but we did not think of spreading the news any further. One morning, the thought struck us that we should give the Ashtar messages wider circulation than was possible through the efforts of EPH, who was doing her best to send them to as many people as possible. That very same day, a friend came to our office and said that the latest communication from this source indicated the express wish of Ashtar that his messages should receive wider circulation. After this coincidence, we wrote to EPH and told her of our intentions. And she not only heartily approved, but received a message from Ashtar addressed to us at the New Age Publishing Company expressing most hearty approval. The communication to us says, in part, a service of immeasurable worth has been rendered us in the publishing and circulation of what you call the saucer books. Their influence and the interest they have aroused spreads with ever-increasing momentum far beyond your cognizance. We must keep the fountain flowing with as little contamination as possible from spurious sources. There is also an intimation that messages from Ashtar may come through various other suitable channels. Since the appearance of the first Ashtar messages, much has transpired. It is impossible, of course, to check on the source of the material given in the following pages. Error is always possible where extrasensory perception is concerned. However, we offer these discourses to the public for their perusal as we have received them unaltered and leave it to you to judge their value. So with that, everybody, a little background information, I want to go ahead and I want to start from the beginning and just share what I can with you during this hour, because these channelings that were brought through by EPH in the late 40s are beyond a doubt some of the best channeling of Ashtar that's ever been done by anybody, and I think exceed anyone who's channeling him today. And the messages from back then are just as relevant to our situation now, because he was prophesizing about what would be happening 50 years later when he was talking to her. We couldn't see that until we lived through it. So thanks for sharing this information with me. I hope you enjoy it, especially if you've never come across it before. Just let me take some water. beginning a series of revelations concerning what is going forward in the activities of those not at this time encased in mortal flesh, and those who are or will be their associates on the earth plane. Thy friends in the unseen be possessed of bodies more amenable to transportation, to transposition from one phase of manifestation to the other, as water may manifest as steam, as snow, as ice, and so on, depending on atmospheric conditions, natural or artificial. This doth greatly enhance their ability to aid mortals at this time. What's being talked about here, everybody, is how Ashtar is always working from his etheric body. And I don't know, I haven't known of a case when he came into a physical body, except for the one time when he incarnated. I did have him appear in front of me, and he was in his etheric body. It's what they call a glowy body, and it's what happened to Jesus when he transfigured on Mount Hermon. So in the beginning here, they're talking about how, you know, it says, encased in mortal flesh, those who are, meaning like Ashtar and his brothers and sisters on the ships are working from their etheric body. Pardon the diversion. Be ye interested in concrete facts deduced from acute sensitivity to present conditions and their inevitable consequences. As hath been said, the precise moment of divine intervention doth depend absolutely upon man's reaction to tests imposed, not by thy heavenly Father or his obedient emissaries, but by the dupes of the enemy. So in the second paragraph of this whole thing, Ashtar saying, no dates, no nukes, no flukes. It's for humanity. It's our actions that will decide. If we decide to wake up and as a collective consciousness, ask President Obama for disclosure, which is what the petition asks for, if you'd like to sign it, by our actions, then they land on Earth. And they won't come until we've disclosed ourselves to the information, until we talk about it as a community, as a country, and as a world, our extraterrestrial engagement, then they have no reason to come. And our Heavenly Father gives the nod for when they come. As ye do at times forget, the warfare doth rage upon the astral planes simultaneously with its progress on the earth plane. The mere fact that so many thousands have been killed doth not conclude the matter in any wise. They still live thus. Thus our problem is to segregate them not as to earthly categories, but in accord with our innate purposes and desires. Naturally, this doth greatly complicate the task of those whose responsibility it be to resolve the whole matter into basic constituents. With regard to thine own country, which be destined to act as a springboard from which to extend real aid to other lands, the present distressing exhibition of preposterous antagonism to well-planned, inherently just, and legally sanctioned procedures to rid the administrative branches of the government of utterly subversive and traitorous incumbents cannot be tolerated. As dastardly plots of the enemy are exposed to view, it will be for the American people to choose whether to cast their lot with the Christ forces or the renegades. There be no middle ground. To remain neutral be the most despicable of all, most despicable crime of all. That's why I'm so jazzed about using the petition process, because at least if we sign the petition, we're not remaining neutral. We're taking action politics and we're asking for change from within the matrix. And, you know, he's talking about all the branches of government of America back then being traitorous, and they started lying to us back then about their involvement with extraterrestrials. not only that, but they were breaking the laws with the banks and the Supreme Court and everywhere else, too, just like they are today. Ye do deplore the lapse of time, yet of what consequence be the amount of time consumed compared with the self-exposure of criminals posing as benefactors of the human race? Presently, many millions of souls will be following a pathway of ever-progressive evolution, or doomed to tread the downward path of misery and degradation. Is it not worth the price of a few lagging months of desperate conflict twixt darkness and light, twixt vicious hatred and superhuman courage, to make certain every mortal now living is in his or her rightful place, not in accord with some arbitrary law or human decision, but according to the unerring knowledge and wisdom of him who doth see and judge the inmost secrets and the hidden motives of man's heart. Wow, so back then, Ashtar was saying, we know you don't like to wait, but we're going to wait so that every soul has a chance to make it into the light. I say it will be settled, not by any natural advantage of superior numbers or the use of weapons devised by scientists who have, or think they have, contacted and harnessed the secret powers of universal energy. I say not so. It will be brought to an abrupt and incontrovertible conclusion by an act of God, comparable to none heretofore known to mortals. This planet be not caught in a net of inextricable difficulties, but be emerging from its superimposed domination by self-demonic demagogues, leading to its destruction. It be placing its trust in the only power able to deliver it from its impending fate. I say to thee in all sacred solemnity of pronouncement, this thy country shall be saved as by a miracle. I say not it will be a peaceful deliverance, but through the unfaltering loyalty of millions who place their faith in thy master, the Christ of God, this land will be cleansed from the abominations now infesting it. It shall be the center from which shall issue those injunctions and powerful energies which shall lead the world into an intense, burning desire to know and to do the will of the Lord God of all creation, as revealed by their coming King, who shall reign over this regenerated world without hindrance from those who now harass and seek to destroy his faithful servants. Before any appreciable gain can be made by earthly representatives of thy master's coming kingdom, there must come the downfall of vast numbers of bombastic declaimers of their own inflated belief in their own importance and influence over the people. Ascent gained through fear or force melts to nothingness when assailed by cold logic or intense loyalty to higher concepts. A long and arduous warfare hath been waged against the powers of darkness, impinging upon all Earth's inhabitants from invisible citadels where Lucifer long reigned supreme over his vassals, invisible to mortals, assigning them to the task of fiendish ingenuity to entrap and inveiglage human beings into abject slavery to his demands. It says here invisible to mortals, and that's because Lucifer would incarnate into a human body to try to take over from inside the matrix. By reason of the unremitting diligence of those to whom was relegated the apprehension and illumination of countless millions of demonic and demonically controlled entities sworn to obey the edicts of their overlord, Lucifer, I say, as a result of this uninterrupted campaign on the astral planes, it now be possible to transfer this battle to the physical plane and repeat the process where mortals may more effectively join in the conflict and observe greater tangible results. As it doth rage, on the physical plane, there be three types of weapons to be employed. First, the actual material armaments necessary for defense purposes. Second, the mental agility to recognize and combat delusive propaganda. Third, the spiritual awareness and moral stamina to move steadily forward in defiance of all enemy resistance, to establish and maintain a rigorous regime of honest government in every phase of human affairs. Ye may say the present deplorable condition of earthly affairs hath always existed and always will. I say nay. Through the man's willful disobedience, it hath reached a point where his own most determined effort to remove the accumulated incubus of overwhelming pressure from subversive forces be well nigh futile. Divine intervention, operating through chosen emissaries, endowed with power and authority to abolish the hellish system in force when Lucifer and his minions held sway, hath prevailed upon invisible planes. Adjoining the earth and the roving hordes of diabolical perverters, of unresisting mortals to either removed, be either removed or under control. Now cometh the final stage in this stupendous project. Not without physical discomfort and suffering may the victory be won. Mortals must prove their mettle. Ye may look upon this time of tribulation as a bitter and unwarranted trespass on thy right to lead a life of honor and dignity. Even so, yet it doth afford thee a glorious opportunity to show thyself worthy to participate in the responsibilities as well as the privileges of the golden age. Privileges forever denied those now responsible for retarding its inauguration. No matter how previous be the suffering of many mortals in this final phase in the transformation of thy world, all who will stand firm in their defense of the right on whatever battlefield they fight will soon realize that they have rendered a priceless service to their master and his conquering legions from outer space, now able to traverse the hitherto impenetrable density of Earth's auric envelope and bring succor and strength to the Christ forces in mortal flesh. A change cometh swiftly over the face of the earth and the peoples residing thereon. Hour by hour, the forces of evil themselves disclose their dire purposes. Close upon the heels of these disclosures come the rapidly maturing decisions of the enlightened ones, now dwelling in fleshly bodies, to reverse the edicts of the false leaders and substitute their own true concepts of constructive action to ensure the survival of desperately beleaguered followers of one sent to teach men the way of life. I salute you from Shara. A few further words of explanation regarding our presence and purpose. At the request of your Heavenly Father, we come to assist your unseen guardians who are greatly perturbed over the state of your planet, Sean. He called that Sean, but he means Earth. We come 10 million strong with a full complement of appliances. He's talking about, you know, spacecraft. With a full complement of appliances and all necessary forces of an etheric nature to use in any manner deemed expedient to block the designs of destructive forces or render their weapons innocuous. We realize certain portions of earthly terrain are marked for destruction. In pursuance of this program, we withhold interference when so instructed by the hierarchy in uninterrupted touch with the Father of us all. When certain prearranged signals are received, we send thousands of ventilas, also called vimanas, to place where dangerous conditions exist. Perhaps you will more readily comprehend our mission of merciful protection when I tell you countless instances of planned sabotage have gone awry owing to the vigilance and prompt action of our men. Destruction for destruction's sake is not our practice. A condition may be most distressing and call forth our earnest desire to render assistance. Yet we are bound by the most sacred of vows to intervene only at the times and places indicated by our master or his accredited lieutenants. Once given implicit instructions regarding a particular situation, we are then free to work out the minutiae of operations according to our best wisdom and skill. But there is never a moment when we may not confer with our commander-in-chief should we feel any doubt over some proposed step to be taken. Our means of thought, communication, and visual observation of any person or place on the entire globe is beyond your present comprehension. It makes possible the fulfilling of a promise many times repeated that all who put their trust in God will be divinely protected under all circumstances. Your Heavenly Father uses his dedicated servants to carry out his will, choosing the ones best fitted to act in the various roles demanded in any crisis. Our appearance in physical form or the materializing of the ships we use occur only on instructions from our headquarters, far above from bases in your stratosphere. They follow a predetermined schedule, not as your clocks and calendars, but in conformity with carefully computed sequences of events, depending largely on mortal reactions to each step in the program. Many factors enter into the decisions made, such as planetary influences of a magnetic type, astral conditions, the activities of forces concealed within the earthly body, constantly changing vibratory rates in different sections of the globe, owing to the people's awakening to their perils and desperate attempts to extricate themselves. This latter consideration is perhaps the most potent point in realizing our forces in their behalf. They must themselves instigate the attempt to gain their freedom before we can go to their rescue, which is why I wrote the petition, and I hope you will sign it, because when we ask, then it must be done. Of course, we fully sympathize with your interest in the mechanical construction and motive power used to achieve the feats of apparent wizardry, which mark our arrival in your material world. Even though we may, for some specific purpose, invite you for a ride, it will be impossible for you to ferret out our secret of propulsion, since you have rejected opportunities afforded you to become acquainted with laws governing these higher forms of energy. Such knowledge has been prostituted for illicit purposes of destruction in the past. Not until your world has dispensed with all need for destructive weapons and all desire to misuse the finer forces of the God-governed universe will you be permitted to experiment with ever-existent etheric energies holding magic possibilities for those qualified to employ them as intended by the Creator to whom they owe their existence. So listen, everybody. Dr. Keshi has been commissioned by Ashtar to be the one to release these technologies on Earth. And remember, Dr. Keshi asked all the heads of the nations to sign a world peace treaty before releasing the technologies. We come now as liberators, but look forward to a more joyous mission when we will mingle freely with you and gladly initiate you into many delights and privileges we possess. May we count on your cooperation in bringing that happy time very near. We hope so. My love and my blessings, I am Ashtar, Commanded Quadra Sector, Station Shar. My message concerns a number of erroneous claims being made by those who crave personal publicity. Anyone who may attempt to invest us with powers of divination and announce themselves the recipients of information pertaining to the private affairs of individuals, unless they apply specifically to serious national or international matters, are guilty of falsification, only insofar as they affect our plans, which must of necessity depend to a considerable extent on the understanding and cooperation of dwellers on your planet, will we pay any attention to your own purely personal problems by prying into the future for answers to your queries. Our interest lies in two directions, providing the facilities unknown to your inhabitants to prevent a wanton waste of life through the reckless employment of inconceivably powerful forces for destructive purposes, forces intended for constructive and creative purposes only, and with our better comprehension of the principles involved, both in producing and directing such intense energies to transmit at the appointed time to those proven trustworthy the knowledge of a practical nature which we possess in regard to these forces. At present, anything we might add to the sum total of earthly achievement along scientific lines would naturally be directed to warlike operations. We must first assist in the abolition of existing agencies bent on world domination by force. A planet populated by fear-driven slaves and the power of a mere handful of tyrannical, may I inquire, what is the polite synonym for bullies, rulers, would not even interest us. Having held numerous consultations with the honorable gentlemen responsible for the founding of this country, our indignation has been aroused by the manner in which their noble visions of freedom, industry, and progress have lost the luster of their original inspiration and deteriorated into a dingy counterfeit of the original heroic model held before the eyes of the people. At that time, much assistance of an amazing type was given at crucial moments. Inspiration and the courage and determination to follow these magnificent ideals called forth overwhelming response from watchers in unseen realms. Had they not been carrying forward God's plan, depending on His guidance and His help, no such country as America would now exist. I confine my remarks to this land for the obvious reason that it is here that a stand must be taken to rescue this precious and priceless ideal from extinction. Should this country succumb to the pressures now being brought to bear to submerge it in a worldwide flood of anti-God villainy, where might freedom find a lodging place? The combined forces of spacemen assigned to canvass the entire global situation and summit a workable plan for the rescue of those being rapidly drawn into a tightening net of infamy are united in what we believe to be the only means of handling this grave problem. Naturally, we do not propose to confine our efforts to this country by any means. There are others in far greater need of immediate aid, being in many places suffering hideous injustice and cruelty. Before going further, I wish to make it crystal clear that we work at all times under the direct supervision of your future ruler, the Christ. Now, what we ask you to do is to lend credence to our reality and our entirely impersonal desire to be of service. The sooner these two facts are accepted by people generally, the more quickly and easily shall we be able to achieve our goal, and the fewer lives will be lost in the process. We are admonished to save every soul who will gladly adapt to the glorious transformation scheduled for the new age. Some may be removed from your planet to help for a time from flames invisible, as many thousands are now doing. I am referring to the great many arrivals on the astral planes and a great many others, dating back to your beloved Washington, the immortal Lincoln, and other men of their caliber. We are submitting our plans to the highest court of heaven, that's the Solar Tribunal on Saturn, for approval, and we look forward with confidence to your wholehearted cooperation. My love, Ashtar. By reason of the fast-approaching climax in the age-old antipathy to its two totally opposed basic life principles, it does become necessary to provide more than human wisdom, strength, and skill to overcome the heavy onslaught of misguided or purposely destructive forces Whether this assistance cometh invisible craft manned by powerful beings endowed with authority to use forces unknown to mortals, or whether the necessary aid be given in ways mysterious and intangible, of a surety men and women fulfilling their missions, which brought them to earth at this time, shall be given all they need to guarantee their success in carrying out their destined roles. None may compute the wondrous patience and forbearance wherewith thy heavenly Father have borne with the frailties of human beings. None may even faintly surmise his disappointment at their refusal to accept his overtures of forgiveness and mercy. All which cometh to pass of a destructive nature be the result of men's free choice of the pathway of retrogression, which leadeth to oblivion as far as their residence on this planet be concerned. These retrogressives cannot exist in the new world now being created. A failure to bring about the establishing of this long-heralded kingdom of heaven on earth cannot even be remotely considered. Thy master said, my kingdom is not of this world. Yea, but was it not also writ, behold, I make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein shall dwell righteousness. This be his promise. It be now in process of fulfillment. Think ye the Creator, whom the most ignorant concede, hath power to intelligently construct the globe ye now inhabit, be not able to reconstruct it to conform with a program designed to give a regenerated human race the proper environment wherein to utilize newly apprehended forces requiring new conditions for their manifestation? Ere the concluding contortions of terrestrial readjustments occur, ye may expect entirely unrelated sporadic exhibitions by nature, releasing long repressed accumulation of force sufficient to disrupt a mountain, flood a desert, sink a country, or raise a continent, not in a haphazard or irrational manner. Will these startling transpositions take place? They will follow a detailed plan of procedure whereby those areas best suited to the development of New Age projects will be spared or changed to render them fit for great service to future inhabitants. Okay, I think that comes to the end of our hour, everybody. I want to thank you for being here with me. I hope you enjoyed hearing Ashtar's words. If that was the first time you ever heard him speak that way through this lady's automatic writing, you perceived a sense of intention. I very much enjoy sharing those words with you. So, maybe this technical glitch wasn't a mistake after all. What a cool way to hear Ashtar speak. I hope you enjoy your day, everybody, and please come see me tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you for signing the petition. It's very important. Namaste.